So let's stand to our feet. We're going to dive into the word. And my prayer for you is that you'll just, that my prayer for you is that you will really see that God has a story for you. In 1 Kings chapter 17, it says, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I've directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have something to drink? And as she went to go get it, he called and said, oh, by the way, can you bring me a piece of bread, please? As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. I only have a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. And I want to read that again. He tells her, go bring me some bread. And her response is, I don't have no bread. Only just a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make me a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make me a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. But this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, that the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends the rain on the land. I want to speak to you today, a message I've entitled, He's Not Done Yet. He's not done yet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the spirit of revelation and give our minds illumination that we would experience transformation. God, I pray you give us a mind to perceive and a heart to receive all that you have. And I ask that after this message, we will never, ever be the same. In Jesus' name, come on, and all the people that slept in to come to the 10 o'clock service, say amen and amen. You may be seated today in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. One of the reasons why I love this story and why I believe today it has so much revelation to what we as the body of Christ is experiencing, and that is because we have gone through some hard periods of times over the last few years. I think on one end, we could see just tragedy, but then in the midst of it, we saw some of the greatest prosperity. And then now all of a sudden, kind of seems like we're back in a battle. Inflation everywhere, signs of recession. And it seems like in seasons of prosperity, everybody kind of has their hands open. They have enough and even more than enough. But when talks begin about what's happening in our culture today, it seems like we go from prosperity to scarcity. That in some degree, we stop living with our hands open and we start closing our fists because all we're trying to do is hold on to what we have. But it's so contradictive to when you experience that and then you read your Bible. Because in some degree, God is at his best when the world is at its worst. And if you really see all the move of God that happens, and God promotes people out of scarcity, and he elevates them into prosperity, it's always in the backdrop of when the world is suffering the most. I believe that over the last couple of years, we've been in a season of preparation. But now that the world is trying to hold on to everything it has, and have put their faith in false gods, that God is raising up the church to be the light of its community to show that God is still blessing his house in Jesus' name. And so when we see this story, we see that this woman's focus was on her scarcity. You see, Elijah never asked her, hey, can I have some flour and some oil? He asked her, can you give me a piece of bread? But her response was, sir, all I only have is a jar of oil and a little bit of flour. You see, it's amazing because every time God speaks to us, he is speaking always the end result. And our response always is, oh Lord, no, this is all that I have. And see, the thing is that when you think that God is focused on your limitation, he doesn't speak to that. God's focus is always on your multiplication. And see, oftentimes what we do is that we speak back to God with our limitation. God, I don't have enough. There's no way I can do this. And the reality is that God never asked you if you can. What he's asked you is what he asked you. But your response is always from scarcity. We don't have it. I don't know if we can do it. I'm not good enough. I didn't go to college. I don't know if I deserve it. I've messed up all this time. And it's almost as if you're trying to convince God to come to your level when he's trying to convince you to go to his level. And so it's always amazing that, because you see it all throughout the Bible, the same disciples that turned the crowds away and said, Lord, we don't, there's no way we could feed these people. And they're telling the people, you gotta go, you gotta go, you gotta go. And Jesus said, oh, what is it that you have? They said, oh Lord, all there is just a boy with 2 fish and 5 loaves. They saw the limitation. Jesus saw the multiplication. The woman, the prophet comes into the woman's house. She's crying because she's about to lose her 2 sons. Her husband just died. And the prophet asks her, what is it that you have in your house? She says, nothing. Until she finally remembers she has just a little jar of oil. She goes, oh, no. By the way, I just have a little jar of oil. And the prophet tells her, go and gather as many vessels as you can. How can a prophet who's a seer tell you to go gather as many vessels as you can when all you're looking at is just a little jar of oil? See, it's amazing that how God is predictable. That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he doesn't change. The same way God spoke to them is the exact same way he speaks to you. When God tells you to go gather a bunch of vessels, what you're looking at is just a little jar of oil that you have. When God tells you to give him a piece of bread, your response is, Lord, all I have is just some flour and oil. It's amazing that our response is really never to the question God asks. What it exposes is the fact that we don't have enough faith and trust to believe him. And so we try to talk him out of what he's trying to bring us into by lowering ourselves when God is always speaking to what he has. And so here's what the world's saying. We're about to go into our worst days. That recession's around the corner. Matter of fact, inflation's gonna hit an all-time high and everyone's getting nervous. Fists are clenching. Everyone's trying to hold on to what they have. You come to church sometimes and you're like, man, should I give my tithe or shouldn't? Because guess what, man? I gotta save as much as I can. And all of a sudden, you begin to sit there and take control of your own life when it was God that gave you everything. You see, the truth is that you and I have to realize that it's in moments like these that God will ask us to do a couple of things, and they come in ways that we never thought they would. Here's a woman who told the prophet her fate. All I have is just a little jar of oil and some flour. And me and my son are gonna eat and we're gonna die. She tells the prophet her fate without ever opening up her heart at that time to faith. How many times do we come to church already convinced of our fate without ever giving God the opportunity that he can have to change your fate as long as you got some faith in your life? Well, God, they'll never change. That's your fate. That's not God's faith. Well, God, I don't think my marriage can ever work. That's your fate. That's not God's faith. Well, God, I don't know if you can ever save my family. That's your fate. Come on, that's not God's faith. But that's the way we come to God. We come to God always trying to give him our faith. And all God's looking for is your faith. So he says. And so the first thing you got to realize that what this lady was presented with was an opportunity. I mean, think about this. The man of God tells her, No, don't bake yourself a cake for just your son and you. No, you bake it and you bring it to me. And you're looking at Elijah, if you're reading the text like I would, and you're sitting there going, bro, you are the most egotistic. How in the world could you tell a widow that? But what's interesting is that this story is very similar to another story in 2 Kings. When Elijah goes and tells the widow, what is it that you have in your house? Oh, but Lord, I just have a little jar of oil. It's amazing that both stories, God only gives us their condition. He doesn't give us their names. And at both times, they're widows. You see, in those days, a woman was not allowed to work, which meant that her husband was her only source of provision. So as soon as your husband dies, you don't have provision no more. So this is why her response was that I just have a little jar of oil and a little bit of flour, and me and my son are gonna eat, and then we're gonna die. Because my son, according to the law, is not old enough to work. I don't have a husband, which means we don't have provision, so therefore we're gonna die. It's almost as if God's trying to tell us that at the end of the day, he's your source, and everything else is your resource. You see, when it comes to your job is not your source. Your job is your resource. When it comes to your business is not your source. Your business is just your resource. But see, the problem is that we get it confused sometimes. When we begin to prosper, we start telling our job that that's my source, and then God's my resource. And then you wonder why your stuff starts drying up. So you would think that they're in the midst of famine, all-time recession. Man, inflation is at an all-time high. And the man of God tells her, give me something. You could almost, in some degree, sit there and say, man, Pastor Josiah, I know on December 11th, we're going to be bringing our Christmas offering. But man, aren't you sensitive to the times that we're living in? I mean, at the end of the day, don't you know that you know, some of us just have barely enough? What service would the man of God be doing if he's speaking to your limitation and not pointing to your multiplication? See, let me tell you something about December 11th. December 11th is not just bring your Jesus your best Christmas gift. December 11th is your day of opportunity that literally is going to set the catalyst for what God wants to do in your life in 2023. Come on, can I get an amen on that? Look what the Bible says. The Bible says this, that sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him and said, go to Zarephath, the region of Sidon, and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. It's amazing because the word Zarephath means refined, trusted in the fire, coming out as gold. So in one point, God wanted Elijah to become better. But then he says, I want you to go to Zarephath. And then I directed a woman. The word direct means chosen, handpicked, set apart. So I want you to see this. Here's Elijah over here. And God speaks to him and says, go to Zarephath over there. So while God is speaking to him here, he is also speaking to the widow over here. Because at the end of the day, he tells Elijah, I have directed a widow. In other words, God gave him the specific of who is going to resource him with what he needs. You see, when Peter was in prison, he was praying. But the Bible says they were way over here, and in the house they were praying. And so when God opened up the doors for Peter in the prison, he says, go to the house where they're praying. Because as God spoke to Peter over here, he was also speaking to the people right over here. Come on, do you want me to give you another illustration? God tells Abraham, I want you to give me your best. I want you to give me your son Isaac. And then he says, in whom you love. Because it could have been very easy for Isaac to give up Ishmael. Because you don't love your Ishmael. You love your Isaac. And oftentimes when God asks us to give us our best, we always negotiate to give him the least. And so what does he do? What does God do? He says, I want you to take your son. And the Bible says Abraham started walking up the mountain. But what Abraham didn't know that as God was speaking to him on this side of the mountain, he was also directing a ram on the other side of the mountain. And as this ram was taking a step, it was because Abraham was taking a step. And every time Abraham took a step over there, the ram took a step over here. Until one day their destinies collided. And all of a sudden, God says, Abraham, you thought you were just going to be a father to one son. But what you don't know, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Now watch this. What are you saying, Pastor Obed? I'm saying that when God speaks to you, he's just not speaking to you. He's always speaking to somebody else that has the key to the breakthrough that you're looking for. And that you have a key that they're looking for a breakthrough. What if Elijah would have never went? The woman and her son would have died. What if Abraham would have never climbed? He would only be the father of one son when he could have been the father of multitudes. What if Peter would have never came out of the prison and went to that house? His ministry would not have continued. Here's what we got to be careful of. Is that when the Lord speaks to you, he's also speaking to somebody else. And it's gonna take both to be obedient to see the opportunity. A few months ago, I'm at a camp. I'm doing this camp and power of God hits all these young people and this one little kid in the front row, I'm done and I'm sitting in the front row and the kid comes up to me and he puts his arms around me, gives me this big hug. He says, I want you to come to my church. And I know the kid. And I'm like, oh no, no, bro, listen. You're not your dad. Your dad needs to invite me, not you. He says, no, my dad will listen to me. You need to come. Well, I really didn't want to go. I had already been gone a lot in the summer. I wanted to go on vacation with my family. But a few days later, his dad calls me and says, hey, we'd love for you to come. And I'm like, man, okay. And something in my spirit said, go. I land up going to this camp. God moves. But the last night, I was done and they put me on a cart, took me to the next building, and they had some food in this room. And while I'm in this room, I walk in, and there's a man that's there. He's eating, and he tells me, grab some stuff, and he says, hey, my daughter got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight. I want to give you a hug. And he gives me this hug, and he says, what do you do? Like, I mean, Pastor was telling me some things you do. I go, well, yeah, I'm in business, and I do this, and I do that, this technology, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, oh, okay. Well, we're having dinner, and then all of a sudden the pastor looks at him and says, hey, you need to take him to the airport tomorrow. He says, well, Pastor, I have an 8 o'clock dentist appointment. And the pastor says, cancel it. You need to take him to the airport tomorrow. He says, well, sir, I'm going to take you to the airport tomorrow. He says, matter of fact, can we meet earlier to have some coffee? I said, sure. We meet, we have coffee. The next week, he calls me and he says, hey, have you ever met Mr. Green? I'm like, I use Fabulosa, not Mr. Green. He said, no, David Green, the owner and the founder of Hobby Lobby. I said, no, I never met him. He goes, well, he needs to meet you because you have what he needs and he has what you need. And I'm like, I don't know. He goes, oh, I can make that happen. And I'm like, okay, I must have heard that 50,000 times. Whatever. A few weeks go by, he calls me. He says, hey, Obed, are you available on this night? I look at my calendar. I'm like, yeah, for what? He goes, I set up the meeting with Mr. Green. I said, man, you lying. He says, no, I set up the meeting with Mr. Green. And I said, for real? He says, yeah. He says, we're going to go to dinner with him. So I fly out there. We go to dinner that night. I'm sitting there with Mr. Green. I'm sharing him what we have. He loves it. And then he looks at me and he says, hey, tomorrow morning I have this event. I don't know when you're flying out, but I'm pretty sure you can change it. And I'm like, what's going on? He goes, well, I got these 9 business people coming. I do these events 8 times a year. I said, what is it about? He goes, oh, well, all these guys that will be in this room tomorrow are worth more than $300 million, and they're just coming to see me how to give money away. I was like, well, first of all, I'm not worth $300 million. But this sounds interesting. I'd be more than happy to. Well, that morning I went in, and all these men are in there. They all worth all this money, and I took a picture with Mr. Green, and so here we are, and next thing you know, he starts sharing his story. He says, you know, many years ago, we started by me getting a loan for $600, and I bought the first machine. It was $400. It was actually a frame maker. And this was our first store. You see, all it was just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. But God had a bigger picture. And so he decided, Lord, I come from a home that's generous. I'm 1 out of 5 children that were never called to ministry because all of Mr. Green's brothers and sisters are pastors except him. He always felt like he was the black sheep of the family until one day he got into business and he realized, this is my ministry. My ministry is to fund the kingdom of God. So he said, Lord, not only am I going to give 10% of my tithe to you, but I'm going to give 10% out of my business. But more, Lord, even then, I have it in my heart to make sure that every person in this world has a Bible in their hand. If you will prosper my business, God, I want to put a Bible in every person's hand. Well, Mr. Green began to grow Hobby Lobby, and today now they have over 1,000 stores. He doesn't call them stores, he calls them sanctuaries. That's why when you walk in there, they have praise and worship music, God. He doesn't have 50,000 employees, he has 50,000 members. He doesn't call himself the CEO, he calls him the shepherd over Hobby Lobby. And can I tell you something? That the 10% that they're gonna give this year to churches and nonprofits is $400 million. Come on, you ought to clap like you know, that's awesome. Now, you would think that, man, you're seeing the story and it's in its fullness. But it all started with something small. It took for him to sit there and not have a scarcity mentality, but a prosperity one. Not to trust in him, but to trust in the one who called them to this. So Hobby Lobby today has 13 million square feet of offices, over 7 miles long. And here's, you can see the offices up there. So that morning, the next morning, we get there and everyone's eating breakfast and he says, Pastor, can I take you for a ride? And I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, okay. And we jump in his car and we start driving. past all these buildings. And he's telling me, look it, look what God did. 7 miles long. He says, we've never had a year without construction. We're building 2 million more square foot because we can't keep up with the growth. He says, Pastor, we're going to give $400 million away this year to churches and nonprofits, but next year we're going to give $509. And so we get to the stop sign. He says, hey, do you see that building right there? I go, yeah. He goes, that's a steel company. Right next to it, it's a wood company. And then next to that, that's a fertilizer company. He says, let's drive over there. So he drove, he whipped a U and he parked. I've had 3 encounters in my life. July 8th, 1989, when God delivered me from drugs and alcohol and I got saved at a camp. And then in 2012, my church went through the biggest lawsuit. And in the last minute, God turned it around. This was my 3rd moment of my life. I'm sitting in the car with him. We're parked and he says, I want to speak to you right now. He says, I want you to look at these 3 businesses because they're sitting on 7 acres and they're necessities. You have to have them. But look what God did with Hobby Lobby. He didn't give us 7 acres. He gave us 7 miles. He says, you want to know why? Because we're not a business. We're a ministry. You want to know the difference? They take your money. We give it away. Can I tell you something? They're greedy. We're generous. And he looked at me. He says, Obed, God's about to bless you. But never make it a business. You make your business a ministry. Because you remember, God gives it to you to get it through you so that you can bless other people. We are blessed to be a blessing. But no. You would sit there and go, oh, well, that's awesome. But no, let me tell you where it started. This was his first advertisement. Right here. This was an advertisement of his picture frames, 9 picture frames of what Hobby Lobby started off with. He'd go around and staple them on the poles in the community. Those picture frames today are now this, what you have in your home. You have all those in your house today. But I want you to know what you have in your house today is this. But it all, come on, go back to the other picture, but it all started with this. You see, you can look at Hobby Lobby and go, oh, well, that's a great story. The difference is he stopped looking at everybody else's story and said, God, I want to be the story. So you remember, one of his goals was, God, I want to put a Bible in every person's hand. So God said, okay, then start where you're at. He goes, Lord, I don't have no money to go buy Bibles. He goes, well, go look in your house. So he goes in his house, he opens up drawers and he finds 3 Bibles. He takes them to the store. First 3 customers come in. He says, I want to give you these Bibles. He goes to church that next Sunday. He tells the pastor if he can make an announcement, if anybody have any extra Bibles. People started bringing their Bibles and then he would go and he would pass them out to the people that would come through his stores. And then all of a sudden, God started prospering him. So he went out and bought 100 Bibles. He'll go out and buy 1,000 Bibles. He was buying 10,000 Bibles. He would buy 1,000,000 Bibles. Until one day, about a few years ago, there was a church that came to him and said, hey, we have this app, but we can't afford it. He says, well, how much is it going to cost? He goes, well, it's going to cost like $35 million a year. But for him, it didn't matter because it was part of his dream. God, if you will bless our business, we'll put a Bible in every person's hand. See, today, you have it on your phone. It's called the YouVersion Bible app. You know that YouVersion Bible app that you have on your phone? You know who pays for that every year? Hobby Lobby pays for that every year. You know how many downloads? 700 million downloads. But it started with just some flour and some oil. But God saw the bread all along in Jesus' name. But you would sit there and say, but Pastor Obed, that's great. But no, God does exceeding and abundantly above all that you could ask or even imagine. And so God would even go further. So what happens? He's sitting in his office one day. His secretary comes in and says, sir, there's some men from Egypt that want to see you. They flew all the way from Egypt. He says, well, if they flew all the way from Egypt, I got to see them. And a meeting took place that day that set his life and changed it forever. Because majority of you know, if you ever followed their story, in 2012, they went before the Supreme Court. It was the biggest battle of his life, knowing that he could lose his business and he could lose the ministry. So one day during the Supreme Court hearings, during the break, he decided to walk away from the lawyers and just go for a walk in Washington, D.C. He goes for this walk and he sees this building. He's in the biggest fight of his life. And he sees this building and it's a big old for sale sign, and God speaks to him and says, buy it. He said, Lord, I'm not even thinking about buying a building because I'm on the verge of possibly losing the ministry. He says, it's not yours. So what are you worried about it? I'm telling you, buy the building. He goes back to his lawyers and says, hey, I'm going to fly home tonight. They said, sir, we have to be here tomorrow morning. He says, I'm going to fly home tonight and I'll make sure I'm back here tomorrow morning. I need to go speak to my real estate people. He goes and speaks to the real estate people and he says, we're to buy this building. They said, sir, it's $300 million. He says, buy it and buy it cash. They said, sir, we're in the biggest lawsuit. He says, God doesn't lose battles. This has never been my ministry and it never will. We just got to endure it. Well, you know the story. They won the Supreme Court case, made history. And now he's sitting with the building in Washington, D.C., not knowing what to do with it. But in the most darkest time of his life, God asked for his faith. Fast forward, these men from Egypt knock on his door. They said, sir, we flew in all from Egypt because we contain all of the historical artifacts of the Bible. All of the original manuscripts of the book of Isaiah are in our possession. And we have a dream to put it in a museum, but we don't have a building. And he remembered his dream. Lord, if you will prosper my business, I'll just put a Bible in every person's hand. Today, three blocks from the White House is the Museum of the Bible that cost Hobby Lobby $700 million and they paid it cash. Hundreds of thousands of people go through there every week and get saved. You say, but Pastor Obed, that's amazing. No, he decided one day, I'm not going to hear about everybody else's story. God, you have a story for my life. You see, this woman, like Mr. Green, saw it as an opportunity. This woman was in the midst of famine, and she was given an opportunity. The second thing this woman had was that she was open. The Bible says that he went to her and says, you go make me a cake. And she's like, oh no, I'm gonna do it just for me and my son. But if that's what the Lord is saying, then I'm gonna be open. Can I tell you what God's asking from you in this season right now? Just be open. Stop trying to put an exclamation point or even a period when you're not supposed to be in control of your fate. Because here's what most of us are going to do on December 11th. Well, I just don't have it. God never asked you if you had it. He just said, give it. Well, you know, you don't understand. I mean, we're going, and then God says, whoa, wait a minute. Do you think I am bound to famine? Do you think that I am bound to inflation and recession? Don't you understand? I own it all, and I want to put it in your hands. So God is giving you an opportunity. But you, like the woman, have to remain open. Stop telling him that you just have oil and flour when he is only speaking about the bread. And then the last thing, as I close, is that she was obedient. She saw it as an opportunity. She remained open. And then she became obedient. And look what the Bible says. It says this. The Bible says this. She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up. And the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping, watch this, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Do you think that God's word is just going to decide to fail you just because the season you're in right now? When it hasn't failed you before? Do you think that the God that we serve is bound to what's happening right now? When he is speaking multiplication, our language back to him is limitation. And God's saying, can I find a church? If I can just find a church that will see it the way I see it. And if I can find the church that will see it the way I see it, then I will give them what I have for them. I believe that as you guys get ready to adopt a home project, that has nothing to do with you. Dream Center, the OC Rescue Mission and Recovery Homes. You're not there. What about a new church building? No, what if we could buy church buildings? But this doesn't benefit me, Pastor. I'm believing for miracles. I'm believing for promotion and raises. I'm believing for God to just prosper my business. And he says, don't you know this is the opportunity? This opportunity isn't given to anybody. But you've been chosen, and it's why he's given it to you. See, let me tell you something. I've been spending a lot of time over the last, I was just with Mr. Green last week. I'll be with him again in the next 2 weeks. I don't know why. I have no idea. God, I don't have no idea. I'm just going to roll. And I was just sharing with your pastors between services. I have a technology company. I don't even know how to run an Apple iPhone. I'm serious. Friday, I went from having a meeting with my staff, recapping our weekend, to my next Zoom I'm jumping on is with the CEO of Hallmark. And we're talking about the technology. And I get off the phone and I laugh. And my wife's like, who are you on a meeting with? I go, oh, I was on a meeting with the CEO of Hallmark. And she goes, honey, the CEO of Hallmark. The CEO of Hallmark, yeah. Well, you just act like it's normal. I go, well, what am I supposed to do? How would God take me when there's millions of others? I could tell you why. Because he's probably been speaking to a lot of people And they just keep on giving him this response. And maybe it's just the fact that he found one person that just can believe and say, okay, God, really? I'll believe you then. You see, I can't tell you, I could tell you how many seeds are in this apple. There's probably about 4. But here's what I can't tell you. I can't tell you how many apple trees are in those 4 seeds. I can't tell you that. See, you're either going to tell God you have 4 seeds, or you're going to sit there and say, I'm going to trust you that in those 4 seeds are a bunch of more apple trees. That's what I believe. And just like Mr. Green, I'm going to trust you with 10% of giving my business. In his first year, he did $172,000. He was so excited. I gave $17,000 out of my business to the church. And this year, they'll give $400 million. You want to know why? He never focuses on the apple seeds. He focuses on what those apple seeds can produce. Can I pray for you today? You walked in today and they gave you one of these. You're gonna have a time where you're gonna sit down with your family and you're gonna ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that you want us to give? Not sit there and say, what do we have? No, then all of it is placed on you. It's God, what is it that you want us to give? 2 years ago, every Heart for the House, our season is around this time. My wife and I had an idea on what we were gonna give. And so that Saturday night, we get our family together as we normally do. I got a 10 and a 12-year-old. They don't know nothing. And my son, 2 years ago, he was 10. We said, well, we're gonna give this amount as a family. What do you guys think? And my son says, Dad, we need to double it. My 10-year-old son. I looked at him and I said, I had to catch myself. I was about to say, we don't have it. And God stopped me. I looked at my wife and I said, we're gonna double it. I could see it in her eyes. She's probably thinking the same thing. But out of the mouth of babes, does God speak? Can I tell you that 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from a business person in my church. And says, Pastor Obed, you know, God has blessed me and, you know, blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And you played a big role in that. I'm already gonna give something to the church, but I wanna give something to you. It was the exact amount that God spoke to my son for us to give. I could tell you millions of stories because when God speaks to you, he's always speaking to somebody else. It's what he always does. And he's gonna speak to you and he's gonna tell you to give something. And you're gonna say, Lord, are you serious? Just know that he's already spoken to somebody else and God's gonna bless you more than you ever could imagine. Come on, stand to your feet real quick. I want you to grab your envelopes. We're gonna bless these. You haven't decided, they just gave them to you, and I know it's in a few weeks, but it's a few weeks that God can speak to you. What you're holding on to is an opportunity. Raises, promotions, new doors, new clients, new customers. All you see is this. God sees down the line. All you see is this. We're gonna thank God for giving us the opportunity because he could have gave that opportunity to anybody else. I'm thankful that I get to do this. I'm going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit over the next few weeks, God, what is it as a family you want us to give? What do you want us to do? God's not asking you what you can. He wants you to ask him. And whatever he tells you, you do it. Because if he spoke to you, he's already spoken to somebody else. And somebody else, the Bible says he will cause men to fill your bosoms. Because at the end of the day, God does use people to get stuff to you and to get it through.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.